This is the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, and you are listening to Royal Ramblings.
Hello, this is the man who will not die, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the Royal Ramblings of Robert and Danny.
I'm Robert, this is Danny.
Hello.
We are the Royal Ramblings. As ever, you can find us on Twitter, royal_ramblings. You can email us at royalramblings@gmail.com. And we are doing a special podcast this week, which is very kindly sponsored by Events Merch. You can find them at eventsmerch.com. They provide all the wrestling memorabilia, T-shirts and DVDs for TNA Wrestling. And we'll have a competition at the end of this podcast to win lots of T-shirts, lots of DVDs and some other interesting memorabilia.
Wow, so that's eventmerch.com. Dot com.
Yep, you can find them at ventmerch.com. Find them now.
Oh, they ran all of the branding for the TNA 2015 tour.
They did indeed. Dean from Event Merch very kindly has agreed to sponsor this podcast, and we are very grateful for him and the team for everything they do for TNA and for sponsoring this event.
Absolutely.
So it's been a long time since we sat down and chatted, Danny.
It has.
Been at least a month, as we can hear sirens in the background. You might hear
They're coming to get you.
They are coming to get me. You might hear the odd phone go. We are sat in a working office at the moment. We don't know what might happen.
The Royal Ramblings hotline might go off.
The Royal Ramblings hotline might well go off. Just ignore that. We'll carry on. We'll keep going. We'll see what happens.
We're professional.
So, yeah. So, as I said, it's been a good few weeks since we sat down and podcast. We are sorry to our loyal listeners for how long it's been, but it's been an eventful few weeks.
Yeah,
and I think we should go right back to the beginning and let's start talking about where it all started for us over a month ago was when we were on the TNA UK tour.
Yeah, so, well, we got the full backstage experience.
Indeed.
Took, you know, a member of parliament to go and meet some of the stars, you know, picture of Jim Murphy MP with Tyrus. He looked pretty intimidated. We did our bit for the British boot camp participants.
We did indeed. I was stood outside with Mark Andrews, who I was there to protect him from the crowd. And obviously, I would have jumped in front if there was a bullet coming, but I think anyone else tried to attack Mark Andrews. I think he was big enough and ugly enough to look after himself.
Well, it's probably appropriate then that they put me with Dave Mastiff, who I don't know if you've seen him, but I'm not sure that I would have been the best protection for Dave Mastiff.
Can I tell you though, one of my favourite, well, the greatest events that's ever happened in my life happened in Glasgow. You and I turn up and there's a signing going on at the time. We went to see our friend with the Royal Ramblings, Simon, to say to him, we're here, anything we could do to help. Doing one of the signings was another friend of the Royal Ramblings, SoCal Val. And do you remember when she screamed at the top of her voice, "Oi, Robert, Daddy, come and say hello." There was a line full of young wrestling fans all waiting to have their photo and their autograph taken with SoCal Val. The two of us strutted up to the top, had a nice little kiss, said hello, and had a nice little chat with her. I was like honoured to be able to do that. I apologise for the phone line going off in the background.
It's the wrestling hotline.
It is the wrestling hotline. We should answer it.
It's WWE. They actually want us to come to their tour. Amazing.
So
let's do that.
We're going to the pre-show party at Raw at the O2.
We are
very grateful to WWE for inviting us along. If any fans of the Raw Ramblings are there, come and say hello and we'll get you on the next podcast. But anyway, back to TNA.
Obviously, we saw the show in Glasgow. It was pretty good. I mean, Grado in particular,
yeah,
coming out to his hometown.
The fact that Grado could use his own music was special.
Yeah, live was
wonderful. I had my father-in-law sat next to us. But even he jumped up and was enjoying it. And Drew
magic.
Galloway as well came to save the day.
Drew Galloway coming out. Amazing reception. Similar to what he'd done at ICW, obviously, coming out with the hood up. Fair play to him, you know, he was underutilised at WWE, he's making a name for himself all over the world and he's an exceptional talent.
We were also there in London as well.
In London, it was all about Spud.
It was all about Spud. But before the show, we were again helping out at TNA. I was in Noam Dar that night, helping him again, trying to fight off the crowds for him. And
I was back with Mastiff and Rampage Brown.
But Mastiff knew cleared everything
after the
Mastiff incident.
Yeah, he tweeted saying that I'd written something that was inaccurate about him. But we cleared it up. We're best mates.
Okay,
now.
It was a hug and a kiss and made up.
Yeah, proper cuddles.
That's lovely. So the show at Wembley, I think one of the best live shows for atmosphere I think I've ever ever been
brilliant
to.
Well, particularly as they filmed two episodes of Impact back to back. In the first episode, Spud lost to EC3, so people were slightly deflated,
had his head shaved,
and then all of a sudden he came back, took the X Division title, and it was incredible.
Absolutely. And Kurt won the title, which was, look, I love Kurt, and let's be honest, he's starting to look old, but he pulled out a great fight that night.
It was brilliant. As it happens, during our break from podcasting, I've been speaking to some of the TNA guys, so particularly Lashley, the then champion, and EC3, both of whom I've asked about TNA's viewing figures, which have been fluctuating on Destination America. So I wonder whether we should hear those clips now.
Absolutely.
I think the UK is, first of all, I think in the United States, we're a little spoiled in the United States. Right. We get wrestling shoved down our throats on a daily basis, and you can go and watch a live event anywhere. And I think the crowd in the UK, they're a mix between wanting entertainment and understanding what the wrestling show is about. And if you have both of those put together, then you can't not like our program, because we have great wrestling and the entertainment's there. So I think in the United States, we're so sold on the big business of telling you what to watch and how to watch it, as opposed to over here, they're looking at the sheer entertainment aspect of it. And if you look at the sheer entertainment aspect of it, we have it, man. We have great matches. We have great a great roster. So I think the UK fans get it.
Are you confident that you can get numbers high?
I think Destination America, we can't look at anything until we've been entrenched there for a while. I think them as a partner has been a great asset to TNA. They helped us secure some fresh new international television, and being a part of Destination America with a part of Discovery can only make us grow more and get better, become better, and get more eyes on the product. If it starts at the international stage, I'm fine with that, because some of our most loyal fans are international.
So EC3 is fast becoming one of the stars of TNA.
Hugely impressive.
Absolutely. And I think he's going to go far. And lots of people talk about Rockstar Spud as well, saying that he should be going on to much better things.
So. I mean, I really hope so. He deserves it.
He's done really well out of the boot camp experience, come from nowhere. I remember when boot camp first came on, and no one picked him to win. It was all going to be about the twins. Yeah. They were going to win boot camp. But Spud has carved out a mark for himself, has played it really, really well. And I'm excited to see what happens with him over the next few weeks in TNA. We've had quite a few chats with people over the last few weeks. You sat down and showed around Parliament the Alpha Female.
I did, and Rocky Romero too. I mean, you know, we're talking about Noah, yep, talking about these British indies, but these are guys from the international independent scene. Firstly, the Alpha Female, it was interesting to get her perspective on the women's scene. She was wrestling, she's been in TNA, she's been on the German scene and in independence in the UK, but most recently she'd been in Japan, and so I asked her about her views on the women's scene, so maybe we should listen to that.
Yeah, since I started, like, it's 13 years ago, or almost 14 now, it changed a lot. Like, the stuff I did, like, before, I don't know if you ever heard it, Queens of Chaos. Like,
yeah.
When we watched the DVDs, we were like, All who were there, they were embarrassed. What did we do there? But yeah, it changed a lot. Like, before, it was always possible that there's a girl who's a girl, the promoter, like the girlfriend, and could step in the ring, but that's not possible anymore. You have to be trained, you have to have a gimmick, you have to have proper gear. The girls, you know, coming from all over the world, you know, like, if you want to stand out, you have to train hard, you have to always improve your gimmick and your matches, your characters, you have to keep updated with your fans, you know. It's not enough to post like once a year on Facebook and say hi to your fans. The fans demand more from you.
And Rocky, you said, and we saw him wrestle?
We did. We saw him at Revolution Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely.
Put on a tremendous fight, really.
Absolutely.
He's excellent, particularly clinging onto the ropes like some kind of spider. Really amazing, great stuff. But Rocky has been at New Japan Pro Wrestling as part of the hooligans there. And I was most interested because NJPW and Rev Pro and others are going to be forming part of this global Force Wrestling promotion with Jeff Jarrett, which is soon to have its debut supposedly
in
Las Vegas.
Yes, absolutely.
I was interested to ask him about that, and he went, I thought, quite far in telling me what their plans might be.
So let's hear what you had to say.
I think that's the plan. Mm. I think that's the plan, is especially to have, you know, GFW, once it gets started, is to have the New Japan guys, you know, as a part of the roster, and especially the American and Gaijin influence is going to be a big part of that GFW roster.
Right.
You know, it would probably be some of the main guys. So, and I think the plan would be to work it out so you're fit, you know, you're in Japan for whatever, 2 or 3 weeks, and then, you know, maybe you're coming and doing GFW,
right?
In, you know, whatever, in between whatever their schedule is going to be. So that, that's be busy.
Yeah, be busy, that's exciting.
But
wow.
I, you know, I hope that it works out. I haven't heard anything recently. They're pretty hush hush about the GFW stuff.
Fair
as
enough,
it comes
yeah.
al- comes along, but I'm excited for it. I think it'd be cool. I don't know what that will mean for Ring of Honor in terms of that and how that'll all go down, but I guess we'll see. Yeah.
Well, they're going to team with Rev Pro here and some others as well. Right. So
yeah, no, I think you know, Jeff's a smart guy, and he's been doing this for a long time, obviously, and you know, his family has been doing it, you know, forever, and I think his vision is the right vision. You know, it's something that I wish, like TNA, when they had their New Japan deal, and I don't think that Jeff was so much in charge of that at that time, but that they missed out the boat. They really missed the boat, and now obviously everybody wants to work with New Japan because they're the hottest company in the world. And you know, the wrestlers are some of the best, you know, on the planet. So
yeah,
is that right about that time?
Well,
did he also give you a rib story?
He did. Quite a good one involving Daniel Bryan, from memory.
Okay, so well, let's before we go to hear that, just to say, where we are sat at the moment, there is a Daniel Bryan's calendar up on the wall behind us, and he stood there in all his glory. And
yes,
so let's hear about the rib story he had to tell us.
One time, me and Bryan, I was on tour in Pro Wrestling Noah. It was me, Bryan Danielson, Bryan, and Davey Richards.
Yeah.
I think me and... I don't know if maybe me and Davey were teaming at the time. I can't remember exactly. But we're on the tour, and we're coming back from we had an early Sunday show or something like that.
Yeah.
We get back to the hotel, and, you know, Davey runs off the bus, and then me and Bryan were sitting next to each other or across from each other, and we noticed that Bryan goes, "Oh, look, Davey left his room key." So we knew that he was going out because he was going to go get some food. He was, like, starving. So we knew he wasn't going to be in his room, and obviously he couldn't get in. So Bryan goes, "Come on." So he grabs the key, and we go up to Davey's room, open his door, and we were like, we didn't know what we were going to do. We're like, what do we do? You know, his stuff's over. And then I go, let's put all his stuff in the bathroom, in the bathtub, right? And then we'll hide it, you know, with the curtain. And he goes, "Okay." So we move his stuff, and then he goes, "We got to do more." I said, and he's like, "Let's just put everything in the bathtub." So we let, you know, these rooms are tiny. So we move, you know, the TV, the coffee tables,
God.
The, you know, the mattress. We put everything into this bathroom. Well, now it's the bathroom, not the bathtub. And we try to hide it, but obviously it's sticking out the curtain, you know. And then, you know, we lock the door. We walk downstairs. And we see Davey coming to get a key.
God.
And he said, I forgot my key. I had to get a new one. So we go, we said, "Oh, okay, cool, we're going to grab some food, we'll see you tomorrow." And then the next day, as we get onto the bus, he goes, "You motherfuckers."
Really?
Yeah, that was a funny rib, it was a harmless one.
And we also sat down with Vince Russo.
We did, another man that was showed around Parliament, outside Rocky, that is. I mean, he's still quite an amazing guy to talk to. Obviously, you know, he was there at the heart of the Attitude Era.
Absolutely,
in WWE,
yeah.
You know, credited with a lot of the success. And then, you know, I mean, if you go onto the WWE Network and watch some of the programs about the Monday Night Wars, people either think that it was a plot to have him go into WCW and cause its downfall, like a Vince McMahon type plot, or that he just, you know, was untapped brilliance. You know, without that Vince McMahon filter, didn't work. Either way, he's still amazing. At the time when I spoke to him, he was running his Pyro and Ballyhoo website, which now he seems not to be a part of anymore. But he still has very strong views, and I asked him about, you know, NXT and what the kind of the craze about NXT was, and so he gave me his views. So perhaps we can
let's hear what he has to say.
We have to be really careful because the NXT does better than the main roster as far as the internet wrestling community goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if the mainstream would look at NXT much the same way that the internet wrestling community looks at it. So I really think it's that much smaller audience that really prefers NXT over WWE at this point. You know, because again, I have to be honest with you. I've watched NXT a couple of times, and there are some people I like, but I'm not overly impressed. I think the success or the jubilation about NXT has more to do with the WWE being so bad right now.
Right.
And people are looking for an alternative. So like anything that's halfway decent, the people are going to tend to go towards. And I think that has a lot to do with NXT's popularity. If the WWE was cooking on all four burners right now, I don't think anybody would be paying that much attention to NXT.
And last but by no means least on the interviews that we've done since we last podcast, we sat down and had a chat with one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, the legend that is Mr. Ric Flair. And it was an honour to have a chat with him. We were promoting his tour that he's doing in the UK in the coming months. And I think we should just play out that whole interview and hear what he has to say. Absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you very much for taking time with us today. So we're going to ask you a few questions about you coming to the UK and what you're doing, and then a few general questions as well. So what's your favourite memory of coming to the UK and wrestling?
Oh, my favorite memory would be SummerSlam. Uh-huh. I think in 92, that was, that was phenomenal. But I mean, I don't have a bad memory of coming to the UK. I love work. I love wrestling over there.
I think
that's pretty much the universal thought process with all the guys. We love wrestling over in England. London, Birmingham, Manchester, whatever big buildings we're in. And, of course, the smaller towns, too. They're great wrestling fans and respectful, and they really take your business. So it's a lot of fun for us.
So what can UK fans expect from your show this time?
I don't know. I'm the most entertaining athlete that's ever lived, so you tell me.
Well, you're doing seven nights, including London. We will put all the links up and make sure that people can apply for tickets online as well for you. So, I don't know if you saw on the WWE Network, Stone Cold and Triple H were talking that kayfabe is now dead. Do you agree with them?
That kayfabe is now what?
Dead. Triple H said that.
I probably have to agree with it. Yeah, unfortunately. Much to my personal dismay, yes.
What do you think that means for the industry as a whole?
I don't know that it affects the industry. I just, felt, especially as someone that started when the business was very, very protective and very closed door. I mean, I just, it's a lot. You either adjust to it or you don't participate in it. I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice, but it doesn't seem to affect anything. The crowds still come out, and I just think it was more fun to the fans. But that's probably old school thinking to not know what was going on.
Absolutely.
Thinking they knew, but never knowing for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way of the world now. It's not just our business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get everything online these days.
Yeah, it's brutal. So you're forced with, it's just something that you have to accept, and you roll with it. I didn't think about it anymore. I used to be offended by that, 10 years ago, but now it's the way of the world.
Indeed. So I don't know if you've been seeing the pictures, talking of online, that have been going around from the Grammys this year of Kim Kardashian dressed up as you. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I did see that.
What did you make of that?
I wants to be Ric Flair in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Football players, movie stars, name it.
Do you think you could get in the ring with her?
With Kim? I met Kim, actually. You know, she was at my retirement.
Uh-huh.
She's very nice. I got along with her great. She was dating Reggie Bush, the football player.
Yeah, I know.
They were at my retirement in 2008 in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's very nice. I got along with her very well.
So, Sting, obviously you've wrestled Sting many times over the years. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's the right time for him to go to WWE?
I think it's long past due. I wish he'd come a long time ago.
Absolutely. And do you think he's going to headline?
It wasn't from lack of effort on my part that he didn't show up. You know, I've been wanting to come for a long time, and I think it's long past due. And, you know, I think it's a phenomenal way for him to finish up his career.
What's your favorite Sting memory?
Some of my favorites, oh God, I have so many. Those are the kind of questions I have a hard time answering. I guess probably our match where we wrestled almost an hour on the Clash of Champions against WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
But one of his first matches with me, it was great. Yeah, every time I think of Sting, I don't have a bad memory. That's sort of like that.
Good.
He's one of the nicest guys, aside from being a phenomenal talent. One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
So your daughter Charlotte is doing incredible things in NXT at the moment.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So what, one rookie of the year? I think it's only 39 years after you'd won it.
Yeah, is that amazing?
Incredible. So what do you think the future holds for her in the wrestling business? Can she match your title wins?
I don't know that she'll do that, but she will be one of the greatest champions of all time, if not the greatest, in the women's division. Yeah, she's the best athlete in the company. I'll say that to anybody,
man
or woman, and not just NXT.
Well, what do you
think? Best athlete in the WWE.
What do you think of NXT as a product?
I think it's excellent. You know, it allows the kids, you know, time. They give them more time for the matches. I think it's the great, it's the truest form that anybody has ever put together of as being as close to being on Raw or SmackDown as there is.
Uh-huh.
It's tremendous. And the production facilities are phenomenal. And Hunter runs it like a business. It's a great opportunity for anybody who wants to get to this.
Okay, on our podcast, we ask all the wrestlers that we interview the same question, and I'm expecting a big answer from you because of everything that you've done over your career. But so, what's your best rib story that you can tell us?
My best what?
Rib story, where you've taken the mickey out of another wrestler, or done. We've heard about Vince McMahon being locked in offices with sheep heads and things like that. What's your best rib story?
Rib.
So, as in, you've played a trick on another wrestler.
Oh, I'm not a ribber. I don't have a rib story.
Really? Nothing whatsoever.
I don't rib anybody. I don't like ribbing people. Oh, I don't like being ribbed, and I don't rib.
Oh, well, I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, no, I don't rib, and I don't like being ribbed.
Okay, well.
You can pretty much ask that about anybody. I don't rib anybody.
Okay, well, you're the first person of all our wrestlers that we've interviewed who've said that. So, we're looking forward to having you over in the UK in May. It's going to be a great time.
Me too, man.
Seven shows.
Now, if you want to hear a Rick story, I got lots of those.
Okay, well, tell us your favorite Rick story then.
No, you got to pay to see that, buddy. they got to pay to hear those.
Okay, well, all the details of where you can apply for tickets will be up on the Huffington Post. So everybody who's listening to the podcast will be able to buy them. And I see you can have your picture taken with you as well. And,
yes,
So we're looking forward to it. So thank you very much.
And they can ask me any question they want, and they'll get a truthful answer.
Well, we look forward to that. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to meeting you, okay?
I look forward to it too, my friend. Keep well.
Have a great day. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Yeah, so Rick is here with Ric Flair is here with MDA Promotions in May. You can go onto their website. There's loads of the dates are up there. But obviously, Flair and others have been impressive at WrestleMania, and we are I mean, you know, so close now to WrestleMania.
So exciting.
So if we quickly just run down some predictions, maybe.
Absolutely. So let's start off Sting versus Triple H.
That's going to, I mean, to my mind, that's got to be Sting. He's got to have his WrestleMania moment.
I've read some interesting articles in the recent weeks about how people just aren't excited about this match. But
I am.
Well, I find it odd. WWE have sort of forgotten about Sting's whole TNA career. Yeah. It's just sort of put to one side. So it's gone from WCW shutting down. He hasn't done anything for the last 15 years. Then all of a sudden he's back in WWE. Oh, he's not back. He's there for the first time in WWE. Don't get me wrong. It's been fabulous seeing him in the WWE ring. And when we saw him the other night, Randy Orton and Sting standing there in the ring, it was something special. On Monday Night Raw this week, with Triple H standing there with a sledgehammer, Sting standing there with his baseball bat, whatever it is that he holds it. That was special.
It was tremendous.
But these are two aging wrestlers.
Oh, no. For me, experience, it's going to be great. They're going to build a big match. Vince Russo told me Sting's going to bring it, you know.
Really?
I mean, Vince Russo was of that mind, you know, these are kind of older guys who want to watch it. But he said Sting will work his heart out. He's gonna pull off something great.
So you think Sting's gonna
Sting,
win this?
Sting for me all the way.
I think just because the fact they brought Sting in, Sting will win. I don't think he would have come back to lose. Come into it to lose. So I'm saying Sting on this.
Lesnar versus Reigns.
Now Lesnar's just signed his contract. He's there for the long run. I reckon Vince McMahon said to him, "You drop the title here. It's now all about the chase for the title back, and that's a new angle for you to take." So I'm saying Reigns for this.
I'm saying Lesnar. I'll put money on Lesnar.
You put money on Lesnar. Would you like to share how much money you put on Lesnar?
£5.
Okay, so not a huge amount of money.
They've kept him in the company for another 5 years. What I know that they've got big plans for Reigns, but I don't think he's ready to hold the company. So I think Lesnar, maybe with some kind of distraction, maybe Seth Rollins comes in, tries to cash in something, which leads maybe to this kind of Shield triple threat next year, which has been touted. But it's all about Lesnar for me. In fact, we asked Jack Swagger what his advice would be to Roman Reigns, given that he doesn't have a manager, and both Swagger and Lesnar do. Perhaps we should listen to his answer.
Absolutely.
I think I would tell Roman that what he needs to do is everything he's done his entire life. He knows how to win. He knows how to prepare himself. The hay's in the barn. At that point, it's just time to believe in himself and go win the biggest match of his life. That, and stop putting so much conditioner in his hair before it goes out. It's not naturally that shiny.
Yeah.
It makes me mad. He's all product. You're all product.
Undertaker, Bray Wyatt. Now this I'm looking forward to. The Undertaker, I've followed for years. He, for me, is what wrestling is all about. He's 50 years old now, though. Can he do what he used to do?
He's got to win it. Far as I'm concerned, he's got to win it. They can't have him lose twice. And Bray Wyatt, you know, in the scheme of things, and Lesnar, okay. Wyatt?
But Wyatt would have lost two WrestleMania matches in a row.
Undertaker would have done.
No, Wyatt as
Wyatt
well.
Would have done as well. Yeah, I mean, I see that. And he's a young star they want to build up. But I don't know. I just think it would be almost disrespectful to the Undertaker.
See, I'm picking Undertaker to win a retirement match next year when he's back at home.
Yeah, I go with
hopefully
that.
We'll be there to see that.
That would be amazing.
But I see him losing.
I go with that.
Next
I think
year.
That's right.
Okay, Intercontinental title.
Oh,
well,
amazing.
I've loved the build-up to this. The stealing the title off each other. It's just been a fabulous, classic WWE, done beautifully, done wonderfully well.
It's brilliant.
I'm picking Bryan to take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's either him or probably Wade Barrett retaining. But I think Bryan probably. They want to build up
the
titles.
Crowd,
so
yeah.
In the same vein, I think Cena's going to have to
I was going to come on to the American title. Will Rusev lose? Will Rusev lose? Will he lose at WrestleMania?
I think all
the talk is that the fight's going to continue, the contest will continue after WrestleMania. So I'm tempted to say Rusev will win it again, and it'll carry on to some other pay-per-views.
Well, maybe we should ask Amy, who's
the
winner.
Well, we have a friend of the Royal Ramblings, Amy, sat here with us at the moment. Rusev or John Cena, who do you pick to win the USA title?
John Cena.
John
there
Cena,
we go.
There we go. She's saying, so I'm saying Rusev, you're saying Cena.
And Amy's
saying Cena.
I've always been a fan of John Cena.
You can see me. Yeah. Well, thank you, Amy, for your contribution to it.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. So, are there any other matches that I can think of we missed?
There's the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and the Divas match.
So, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I pray that they do something with it this time. Yeah. They've built it up a lot this time, and last year it was built up, and then Cesaro, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Won it, did nothing for him.
Missed out's the bookie's favourite. Fair play if they give it to him, but you're right, got to do something with it.
So I hope if something happens in the match, like Mizdow eliminates the Miz, and then it builds up to whatever the next pay-per-view is, I'd buy the pay-per-view just to see Miz versus Mizdow, because that is going to be a great match when it happens.
That will be great. And then there's only a couple of other... The Divas match, I think, is Paige and AJ going to have to win
it. Yeah, the better to win, yeah.
You know. And then Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, which
I think they're going to open with that.
I think it'll be good. I really do.
And will he cash in the Money in the Bank?
I think... I kind of feel like he has to. It's been going on so long now.
Monday Night Raw is my bet. Maybe. Monday Night Raw is when he will...
That's a good shout.
So we've got a friend of the Royal Ramblings over at WrestleMania who's hopefully going to be going to a few events for us, writing a few blogs for us, and you'll see those up on the Huffington Post in the coming weeks. It's going to be a good WrestleMania. Sadly, I don't think I'm going to be watching it live. I'm going to try and keep off social media the whole day and watch it on the Monday night. So we'll see how that goes.
It's been basically a year since we started blogging, so we should say thanks to all the followers, you know.
Absolutely. What a great year it's been. We've done some great things, been to some great places. Thank you to WWE for inviting us along to their events. Thank you to TNA for their events. And thank you to
GFW for the interviews.
Absolutely.
ICW for the forthcoming interviews.
Absolutely.
IPW for their stuff in Kent. I mean, there's been a lot of friends out there.
Absolutely, and we are very grateful to all of them, and... we hope that we go from strength to strength in the coming years. We again thank eventsmerch.com.
Who are on the phone.
They're on the phone now, yes.
They're just checking that we were doing their mention.
Yeah, absolutely. We were there mentioning it. Thank them for the sponsoring event. We need to come up with a question for our loyal listeners to win lots of DVDs and lots of T-shirts and other stuff. So, I have a question. I was at WrestleMania 21. Easy for you to say. I was at WrestleMania 21. I would like to know, who did the Big Show fight at WrestleMania 21? Do you know, Danny?
I genuinely do not.
Okay, so remember you can email us at royalramblings@gmail.com. You can tweet us at royal_ramblings. And we shall...
And the people who answer correctly, or the one that's picked out of a hat, will win some serious merchandise from eventmerch.com. Eventmerch.com, which is where they'll go, where those who don't win can go and console themselves and look at what other things
are. So basically, we have lots of pay-per-view DVDs and T-shirts to give away. So
amazing.
So is this a slight problem that we've set a competition with WWE and we're giving away TNA presents? I don't know about that. But we'll stick with that. We'll set the question, and so we'll stick with that. So, but thank you very much for listening to us today. It's been quite a long podcast, but we are grateful, and we won't leave it as long until the next podcast. Until next time, speak to you later.